Wake up, folks. It's Andy Dick, and this is Addicted.
Inside the mind of Andy Dick, so many ways to turn. So take your pick inside the mind of Andy Dick.
Hi, welcome to What the Fuck is Up with Andy Dick, Inside the Cracked Mind. And that's why we're doing this show. Or I really should say that's why I'm doing it, because my mind is cracked. I think everybody's mind is cracked. And in this podcast, only 10 episodes, we're bringing in the top professionals, specialists, psychiatrists, therapists, urinologist. No, we should get one of those, right? Check my urine. No, what would that do? Nutritionists. And this guy, Noah Levine. So it is Levine, not Levine. Wait, which one is it?
It doesn't matter to me. My family pronounced it Levine.
Oh, they did? You're Jewish?
My father's side.
Mine too.
Yes.
That's interesting. Well, anyhow, here's Noah, our next guest, who is a Buddhist.
I am a Buddhist.
Can you explain that a little bit? And sure. You're not a monk, right?
I'm not a monk.
And then what would it take to become a monk if you wanted to be?
Anybody can become a monk. You have to take a vow of celibacy and...
Never mind. I'm not. I'm out. You lost me.
A vow of celibacy and a vow of poverty. You give up all material and sensual.
Oh. You know, I have done that accidentally.
Yes. Sure.
Yeah, of course we all have, I guess, right? You know what? That's what probably happens. People just, like, there's no sex going on. There's no money. And like,
give it up.
I guess I'm a Buddhist now.
Sure.
They're just, you know what I mean?
So I grew up, my father's name is Stephen Levine. He was a fairly, you know, famous. He wrote 10, 15 books. He wrote books with Ram Dass, you know.
Yeah, I knew who that is.
So I grew
he
up.
He did?
I grew up
Holy
with.
Holy crap.
Yeah, I grew up with like that. What maybe we would call the pioneers of a lot of the Western
You're giving me chills. How old are you?
I am about to turn 50.
Okay, so I'm 54. So we're, yeah.
Growing up in the 70s, 80s, dad's a meditator.
Yep.
But they're not really Buddhists. But they're not really Buddhists.
No. Mine did transcendental meditation.
Yes, they're doing Hindu. They're doing Buddhist. They're reading Sufi poetry.
Yeah.
They're
and
doing all of it.
Mine was reading Ram Dass.
Yes, and so.
So that, and your dad, oh my God.
I grew up with Ram Dass. My father
was fucking
and
reading
and
your dad's books.
They wrote Grist for the Mill together in like 78. Eight or I'm not sure what, but sometimes. I grew up with it, but I do, you know, but also my mother was an addict. My father was an addict before he turned to his hippie new age, you know, spirituality. I got strung out young. I was, but I was suicidal at 5 years old.
I'm sorry to laugh, but if something is very, very dark like that,
yes,
I tend to laugh.
Me too. Like I was
5 years old.
Five
you want to commit suicide? How would you do it?
Had the knife,
the Kool-Aid.
Had the knife.
Oh yeah.
Had the, you know, the hiding place. Had the kind of plan.
Jesus Christ.
And had that feeling of like I've got no control in this life.
Oh my God.
Other than whether or not I continue to live or not. Now, Andy, the context for that is that Stephen, my father, was doing hospice. So I was around death and dying from the beginning. And I was taught about reincarnation. And so when I was 5 years old and suicidal, I was not thinking like this is over. I was thinking this is a reset. I can get out and start over.
Because of reincarnation.
Because of reincarnation. Yeah. But I started getting high. At 7 years old, smoking my dad's weed, drinking my mom's wine.
Can I stop you?
Yeah.
Because I was just watching a weird, it's one of my favorite shows, but Unsolved Mysteries. Not the new one. I went back to the old ones. And it was about child prodigies. And there was this like five-year-old, and then he was six, nine, ten, whatever. And he was at Carnegie Hall. And they said... And I'm like, why would they say that? Because they can't explain child prodigies.
Right, right.
They said it's reincarnation.
Reincarnation. Possibly.
Possibly.
So, you know, growing up with these spiritual teachers and meditators and Buddhists, and but they're all stoners. They're all eating acid like it's candy. They're all, you know, like I'm around these psychedelic spiritual. So for me, by the time I'm 5, I'm suicidal. By the time I'm 7, I'm getting high. By the time I'm—
Wait. Getting high on what? At 7?
I'm smoking my dad's weed.
At 7?
I found my mom's grocery bags full of mushrooms and started eating them like they were candy at 10 years old.
Oh my
I'm dropping
God.
Acid by the time I'm 11.
Oh
and by the time I'm 13,
God.
14, I'm snorting coke, I'm shooting dope,
oh
I'm strung out on crack.
God.
I have 3 felony arrests by the time I'm 17.
Oh my God.
So addiction, young addiction, and the desperation and the suffering of my addiction and the suffering
I'm
of my
so
life
glad
that
you're alive.
Led to addiction.
Yeah.
Got me desperate enough to try my dad's hippie Buddhist meditation technique.
Which was what?
Which was mindfulness.
Mm-hmm. I heard
sitting
it,
in juvenile hall. I start meditating.
Am I allowed to talk, Brandy?
Absolutely. Jump in.
On the way here, my producer sent me a bunch of your tapes, and I was so tired today. I laid down in the back of the car and listened to one of them, and it was just so beautiful.
Thank you.
And you would do this thing where you would talk and then stop talking, and I would say to Dee Dee, is my girl that takes me every time to the show, I'm like, did you stop it, Dee Dee? Like, what? Why is it, where's the, and then you would start talking again. I'm like, oh, he's just pausing. And then I got used to the pauses and liked them.
Yeah.
Because I noticed you paused, unless you weren't doing this on purpose. I was thinking you paused every time you wanted me or whoever was listening to really think about what the fuck you just said.
Some of the times when I pause, it is so that the listener is reflecting. Sometimes when I pause, it's because I'm listening to my mind.
To yourself. Like, what are you going to say next?
What am I going to say next?
Yeah.
And having
That's
some...
How I
and
am.
This is part of what I want to talk with
uh-huh,
you today.
Good.
Inside your mind,
mm-hmm.
How addicted to our minds and how much do we obey our minds and how much do we have some choice about what we do no matter what's happening in our minds or what
mm-hmm.
we say,
mm-hmm.
no matter what our mind is telling us.
Yeah.
And that's what, and so, you know, when I started meditating at 17 years old and was a full-blown drug addict.
Yeah, that part.
And was, had a lot of consequences that I was like, okay, recovery. I started getting sent to 12-step stuff when I was 13.
Ugh.
And I was like, all of this God, all of this religiosity, all of these adults.
I know, right?
I didn't love the 12-step stuff, but I knew I needed help.
Yep.
And I knew I needed community, and I knew I needed... But meditation made sense to me.
Yeah, me
because
too.
Because this was like non-theistic, no God in
yeah.
Buddhism, just humanist psychology. This is how
yeah.
your mind works.
Yeah.
This is how you can train your mind. Mindfulness will lead to the end of suffering.
Yeah.
So I got very involved in Buddhism and stayed involved in recovery. And I, you know, I went to the meetings and I got the sponsor and I did the steps and I did all of that stuff. But I never really became theistic. I never really came, you know, the second step. I never really came to believe that a power greater than myself was, that God was going to help me. I don't believe in that shit.
Yeah.
But what I did believe was that as I meditate, as I start to tell the truth, as I practice some renunciation, through my own actions, my life is changing.
Mm-hmm. What I found, the same thing. I found that when I meditated, it had the same effect as getting high or getting drunk, but it took a little longer, but it was longer lasting. And I would have to do it consistently.
It's a, you know, the Buddha.
It's a discipline.
The Buddha talks about developing a reliable refuge. And we go to drugs and we go to alcohol and we go to sex for refuge, right?
Wait, those are my 3 best friends.
Right, but it's so unreliable.
I know.
it's so temporary, and the hangovers and the shame and the, everything else that comes along with it. And that through meditation, through an ethical way of life and some renunciation. Unfortunately, like, you know, people like us and maybe all people, we don't want to renounce everything. We want to do what we want when we want. But then we see the suffering that that creates in our lives. And so then we come around and say, I want to do it different. I would like to be happy. I'd like to have a different relationship to my mind, because my mind, you started in the beginning about how your mind is cracked. And the truth is, everybody's mind is cracked. The human mind is dysfunctional. It is wired for survival, not for happiness. It is fueled by repetitive craving and self-centered ignorance. And it's not your fault, Andy. And it's not anybody's fault that the mind is like this. This is just the human condition. Without us actually doing some serious investigation.
But I have.
Yes.
For my, I started when I was 15, and I did every fucking thing you can name one, and I did it. From Scientology to, I did that, the one that Tina Turner does, the Buddhism. I went to those temples with her.
Nam-myoho Renge-kyo.
I had a whole, I had my Gohanzen still.
Sure.
I have it.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called, right? A Gohanzen,
I think
the thing
so.
That you, but that's not what you do.
That's not what we do, no.
No, we, okay, what do you go to a temple or whatever?
So, well, let me complete my story for a moment.
Go ahead,
and I love that you're hearing this and that you're feeling it. So, you know, I got sober, I stayed sober, and I had this Buddhist practice, and I had my, you know, teachers. And
practice? Oh, that you went to,
Yeah, practice of mindfulness, going to meditation.
Or
retreats.
Did you have your own dojo?
I didn't. I do have my own now, but back then I was just a student, and I was a kid, but I was going on these silent meditation retreats, and I was like, there's hope here. At 19 years old, I did my first silent meditation retreat, and I'm fresh out of juvenile hall, and I'm a tattooed punk rock angry kid, and I enter into this hippie spiritual bullshit, and I'm like, these are not my people. My people are in the 12-step rooms. Those are my people. These white do-gooder Buddhist, you know, baby boomer hippies, not my people. You know, I want to listen to Motorhead and, you know, and skateboard. So, but in recovery, I found those people. But in Buddhism, I found a philosophy and a practice of training my mind that just made sense to me.
Yeah.
After 15 years or so in recovery, I started teaching my teachers, Jack Kornfield, Ram Dass, Stephen Levine, Ajahn Amaro, started encouraging me, start teaching, teach your generation how to do this.
Yep. That's what you're doing right now, by the way.
That's what I'm doing.
Right this
second. That's why I created Refuge Recovery.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which
is, I know this.
You know
it. Is it in Venice?
It's all over the world.
Yeah.
But we
Isn't
started.
Isn't it the one where you can smoke pot?
No.
Oh, I'm out. I'm out already. I'm out.
Well, here's the thing. Mindfulness is the solution. In order to be mindful...
Can I stop you? I forgot to smoke pot before this,
that
which is weird.
Would have made it.
No, I'm going to. We're going to take a quick break. Well, come on. Because I thought that was your thing, Refuge Recovery.
Yeah, Refuge Recovery is a completely abstinence-based. In order to use...
No sex even?
No, abstinence from...
Out!
Mindfulness.
Don't sign me up.
Abstinence
Why
from...
Why are you here?
From recreational.
I'm just kidding.
No, listen.
Go ahead.
Recreational drug and alcohol use.
Also, I can smoke it if I'm like now having a little therapy session.
You
with
have to
you,
be honest.
Ram Dass's co-writer's son.
You have to be honest with yourself. What's recreational and what's medicinal?
I know. I am very honest.
Yeah, and you know, of course.
On Oops the Podcast, join me, comedian Giulio Gallerati, as I examine everyday life, the mistakes, the bad decisions, the goals, the jokes, the social engagements, and all things in between. I'm joined every week by producer and personal confidant Ryan Lynch, various other comedians, for witty, candid, and intoxicating conversation. Our listeners love Oops for sophisticated banter, aka your mom could listen, and many feel like they're in the room with us chopping it up with old pals. You can find every episode of the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube.
Now, I want to get around to...
Go ahead. I knew you were.
Refuge Recovery.
Yep. Yeah.
Which is the Buddhist-based, you know, using... The Buddha taught four noble truths. Number one, suffering
Okay, what about it? We all have it.
We all experience it. Number two, there's a cause. Suffering is caused in the human instinctual drive towards pleasure and towards craving and clinging and the avoidance of our pain.
Yeah, that's one of the things I liked about what I listened to you on the way here.
Yeah.
Where you're like, why do we, and I'm like, why do I? You're like, why do we keep going back to the same toxic relationships, to the same bad thoughts, to the same thoughts that aren't loving? You had three words there. I'm like, wow, that was really loving. I can't remember what you said, but like, if they're not positive and bringing you up, why are you having those
thoughts? Why are we addicted to our pain?
Yeah. Why? And I know what you said.
It's this instinctual drive.
Your mom and dad. Yeah, my mom and dad and this and that. Yeah, we go back to what we know, and that's where we feel comfortable. We feel comfortable in the chaos. See how I heard your whole fucking thing?
It's all we've known.
Do you hear now?
It's all we know. And our wires get so crossed that it feels like love.
Yeah.
Yep. Because it's so familiar. Because those who, you know, and this is a little bit more psychological than Buddhist, but those primary caregivers who were supposed to be unconditionally loving and supportive and weren't so good at it. And then
we can't blame them.
Well, sure, we can.
Okay.
Sure, we can. They can have full responsibility for their half-assed parenting.
Oh, well, mine are dead, but I have my... I know, but you're right. And but you say that about me. I have three kids. Sure. How many do you have?
Two.
Yeah. You know what Noah said? I'm talking to the people listening. He said right before we started, can we get to this? Because I want to get back home to my kids. That was so sweet. How old are they?
8 and 12.
Yeah, mine are dead. To me. No, I'm just kidding. No.
No, the other way around.
My youngest one is 23, and then I have, that's my daughter, and then a 25-year-old son, and then a 32-year-old kid. Yeah. So I'm doing the same thing that you do, where I try to keep them close. So my son, my oldest, 32, wrote a movie starring me and my daughter.
Oh, rad.
I know, it's so cool. So tell me more about you.
So...
And then eventually, pick a number.
I love Willie and I love the Dow. So
this is the Dow of Willie that I found out in the kitchen.
Yep.
A Guide to Happiness in Your Heart by Willie Nelson. The Dow, which is spelled with a T, T-A-O, of Willie. And I want you to pick a number. And then
108.
Oh, we're going to get right to it right now. Okay.
Let's do it.
Oh, yeah. I almost get open.
And then I'm going to crack my book for you.
Shit, yeah. Well, how many books do you have? Fuck yeah.
I've written four.
Yeah. Good job. You're so prolific. Okay, here we go. This can't be Willie talking. It's easy to be overwhelmed by our desires for material things. But the fact is, most of us know what we truly value. Sometimes we just need a little reminder. Can we talk about that? That's what I need help with. This guy that I'm hung up on.
I love it as an investigation into your mind, right? Like, that's what this is about. And your attachment, your love for your boyfriend, your...
Is it love, though? That's what you were saying
Maybe attachment, maybe it's love. I don't know. But whatever it is, it's in your mind. I mean, so in Buddhism, we don't separate the mind and the heart. There's a Buddhist word, citta, which is the heart.
Yeah, I heard you say that. And the mind.
The mind and the heart, all emotion, all of that arises in the mind. It's all psychological. Buddhism is humanist psychology. How can we have a radical shift in how we relate to our own minds? Now, you're not going to perfect your mind ever. Now, I got bad news. Which is that even the enlightened Buddha continued to experience craving and aversion and doubt and all of that shit that we suffer about. Awakening, recovery, establishing abstinence and maintaining abstinence and living a life that way, it doesn't make all of our pain go away. We just learn how to deal with it. It doesn't make our mind perfect. We just learn how to deal with our imperfect, in your words, cracked minds.
Did I say that my mind was cracked.
You did, yeah. Oh,
that's a good term.
Yeah, my drug of choice was crack, so I'm a big fan of the crack. So here's where I'd like to go, Andy, if you want to come along with me.
I do.
The first aspect of refuge recovery is admitting to our innermost self that addiction is suffering. Even though our addictive patterns, our addictive behaviors, the substances give us temporary relief from some of our pain, some of our grief, some of our trauma, for lack of a better word, in the long run, addiction is the cause of more and more suffering. Recovery is about ending suffering. So we start in...
See how you did that pause? I like it. It relaxes me. I love this guy so much.
So we start the refuge recovery process by looking at the first noble truth. And
which is what it was, that suffering?
Addiction creates suffering.
No, but the first noble truth is suffering.
Suffering is normal. Suffering is ordinary. Suffering is the status quo. The third truth is that it's possible to end suffering.
But
it is. So let's do this. Full attention. Full attention. To start the process of healing and to recover from addiction, the first thing we must do is accept how our addictions cause suffering in us and in the ones we love. We begin by understanding that addiction always creates suffering. Suffering is greed, hatred, and delusion. For the addict, it may manifest as suffering is the stress created by craving for more. Suffering is never having enough to feel satisfied. Suffering is stealing to support our addiction. Suffering is lying to hide your addiction. Suffering is feeling ashamed of one's actions. Suffering is feeling unworthy. Suffering is living in fear of the consequences of one's actions. Suffering is the feeling of anger or resentment.
Who wrote this?
Suffering is hurting other people. Suffering is the feeling of being isolated and alone.
Oh.
Suffering is the feeling of hatred towards oneself or others. Suffering is jealousy and envy.
I wish my boyfriend was here to hear this.
Suffering is feeling less than, inferior, or beneath others. Suffering is feeling superior, better than, or above others. Suffering is greedy, needy, and selfish. Suffering is the thought, I cannot be happy until I get. Suffering is the anguish and misery.
What the
addicted.
Okay, then what's your point?
It's a bummer, right?
Yeah, what are we supposed to do?
Here's the point.
Go ahead, doctor.
The first piece, and you know this. I know you know this.
I know.
Is to stop avoiding and denying and...
Not.
The first is honesty.
I am.
With your innermost self.
I am. What do you... Ask me a question. Go ahead.
I want to ask you a whole bunch of questions. Suffering is the stress created by craving for more. List. Tell us. The stress your addiction has created. How does it manifest day to day? The stress that addiction creates in your life.
How does it what?
How does addiction create stress in your life? How does it manifest day to day?
When I want to take a smoke break and I have to figure out how to tell you that without you running out and leaving because you're a very great guest. I honestly thought refuge recovery was the one where you could smoke pot. Which they wanted me to go into, because I've been to 27 rehabs. By the way, I've been trying to ask you this. Yes. How many rehabs did you go to? 27.
Zero.
You know what, bitch?
I went to jail a handful of times.
Well, that's pretty much rehab.
It's kind of like rehab, except for you don't get any counseling.
Yeah, and you can drink the Pruno.
And you know, and then, that I got, is? And then I got sober and I stayed sober. Now here's the thing, and I see it, and I know you want to talk about going and getting high.
Oh, and I'm gonna.
I know, but the most counterinstinctual thing is that all of our instincts are driving us to do things that make us feel good. But doing that repetitive, habitual, reactive running from our pain by replacing it with getting high, getting drunk, getting laid, shopping, eating, whatever it is, all of that avoidance technique doesn't fucking work.
You're
people
right.
like you and I would have been happy the whole time because we, you know, we got, you know, you have so much access to all of the substances.
It's amazing that we're both alive.
It doesn't fucking honest. Work. If it worked, then, you know, we wouldn't be having this conversation. But you know what does work? And this is the whole key for you and everyone else, is learning to be uncomfortable.
Oh, I'm real comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Bullshit. You're not comfortable with it
Bullshit!
At all. Bullshit! Not comfortable with it at all.
You know why? How I know I'm not? Because every time I am, which was this morning.
Yeah.
I pray. And you know what? I'm Christian. I know you're a Buddhist, so I don't know who you're. Are you like praying to your fucking elephant Gonash or whatever the fuck that guy's?
Those are the Hindus, but okay.
Well, isn't it the same?
It's not. No. It's not the same.
Well, who is there even a God in your Buddhist?
There is not.
Oh.
Buddhism is non-theistic humanist psychology. How our human mind works.
Yeah.
It does. It's not a theism. It's not a religiosity.
Yeah. Okay.
If you want to take a break, you can take a break.
No,
or we can
but
just.
I'm just asking if I could just smoke in here.
Oh.
No. No.
That's a, Brandy
says
that's a harsh. No.
Brandy says no.
I think what Noah's talking about is you're actually demonstrating how uncomfortable you are right now.
I'm not uncomfortable.
How dare you?
How dare you, Brandy?
This is an opportunity to defy your mind. Rather than obey it. Okay, I won't tell Brandy you just walked out. All right, we'll take
You're
a break.
Getting
we'll
take to a him, Noah.
He just walked out. We'll take a break.
Sorry.
It's okay. It's a lot, you know. I get it. I would fucking walk out of an intervention myself.
What do you do at a point like this?
We see we can continue. We can take a break and continue.
I mean, I'm sure you've seen this before.
Sure. It's resonating.
Do you think he doesn't make any sense to me. It's like every time somebody, the way to say it is that he's could be the most self-destructive human being I've ever seen in my life. And I've seen a lot.
I've seen it turn around.
Mm-hmm.
It can turn around.
Yeah, but you have to want to.
Yes. You got to get to that place where it's not even about wanting to, because, you know, you don't go to rehab 27 times because you don't want to. And of course, we do need to come to that place where it's like, no, I want to do this for myself. But maintaining that is so difficult. You know, people often have that like good starters. Like, yeah, I get started, but then I get bored. Then I get uncomfortable. My friend Fat Mike in this band called NoFX. You guys know the punk rock band NoFX?
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a song that he just put out last year called Day Six, and it's about me, and he's talking about like, and I went to Noah's rehab and everything was great and I was meditating, and then on day six I was like super uncomfortable, so I fucking left and I've been loaded ever since. He's like, I wanted to be clean and I was, you know, and I felt so good for the first few days, and then on day six shit got real. He's back.
What are you guys talking
about? We're talking about Willie.
Okay. In the cast of characters in your Buddhism play.
Yes.
Where does Jesus fall into it?
Yeah. Have you ever heard the theory that Jesus, how long was Jesus wandering?
40 days and 40 nights.
No, more than that. That's me. That's Noah's Ark. Jesus was missing for decades, right? Like he's young and
I
then all of a sudden
know.
He comes back and he's like 27 or something.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know,
he was whoring himself. He was gay for pay. Gay for pay in Jerusalem.
So, you know,
Bethlehem.
You know that, you know, the Buddha is about 500 years before Jesus. And so some of the like New Age people like to say, you know, Jesus went off. And Buddhism at that point was all the way through Afghanistan, the Middle East. So it would have made a lot of sense that Jesus would have learned some Buddhism when he was out wandering in the desert, because that was one of the predominant.
I did hear this before. Yeah.
And, you know, things like the kingdom of heaven is within sounds very Buddhist. You know, this is what the Buddha is teaching. All of the happiness that we're seeking is inside of ourselves. Both the causes of suffering and the ability to end suffering is within us.
Oh, I got a question for you, dear sir.
Yes.
Have you got rid of all unhappiness and suffering? And are you where are you at right now? That's so funny.
It's so hard, you know, to say. Here's what I'll say.
I already know the answer.
You know the answer?
That you're in the same place I am, but you can just handle it.
I can handle it.
Yeah, so,
but that's the definition.
I know your answer already.
Yeah. I would say that my suffering has decreased. I might even go as far as 90%. When I started meditating, when I was addicted, I was suffering like 100% of the time.
I know. That's me right now.
And then
that's me.
Sobriety, recovery, psychology.
You never smoke pot.
I do not. I've been totally sober for 32 years, since 1988.
Great. I was in high school.
When was the last time first time you went to rehab?
In the 90s.
Like, 90s.
I think 96.
Yeah, so you could have like 25 years clean now.
You know what? You want 25 years clean on D's? You want 25 years clean on D's. D's nuts. Sure. That's a bad joke.
Do you want to get sober?
I am sober.
Do you want to?
Just because I smoked a little pot.
Here, let me ask you this. Yeah. Seriously. I know we're getting a little, you know.
You're not scaring me.
Do you want to be happy?
Well, who doesn't? But you know
what?
Hey, hang on a minute. I'm the one that listened to your thing on the way here.
Tell me.
You said they were addicted to the unhappiness, and we're addicted to the chaos.
Yes.
You said it.
And that we can break that addiction.
But you just asked me.
Yeah.
Do I want it now? That's a tough question. Do you hear what I'm saying?
I do.
Maybe I do like just being in my, like wallowing in a vat of shit and mud like a pig. Nope. Maybe I like to wallow in my own shit.
It's not true.
Maybe.
It's not true for anybody.
I'm doing it.
I know a lot of us are doing it, but it's not true for anybody. None of us really like it. We get stuck. We feel stuck. It's all we know. We get hopeless, all of that. But one of the things I was talking to your producers about on the break was that I've seen people turn around, people way worse than you.
And yeah,
Like
you. That's why I'm talking to you, because I didn't even know that about you, to be honest with you. Are you kidding me? This kid started doing drugs at 5. Oh my God. That hurts my ribs.
I got it done early. I'm grateful for crack cocaine kicking my ass so badly that I was willing to turn it around at a young age.
Yeah. Well, I have a young boyfriend that punched me in the ribs. And that's why I can't even laugh, because they're cracked.
Yeah.
Because he punched me. Because that's one of my addictions, ain't it?
Sure.
Sex.
Sure.
And it's...
But if you want to get good.
It is good.
Of course.
I can't lie about that. I mean, I just keep going back, you know, and all of it. You're right. I'm addicted to the fuck all of it right now.
Yeah.
On a very small level, I think. Like, that's the first time I smoked pot today. I was like, I forget about it. That's how I know I'm not really an addict. Because I'm like, oh, I'm going to smoke pot before the show. And then halfway through, you were talking about all that. And I'm like, oh, fuck, I forgot to smoke pot. So I went out and smoked a little pot. Big whip-de-doo.
Did it help?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, come on. Don't.
Do you feel better?
Yeah, I do. Well, I don't need
it's
to feel better. I was feeling good already.
Well, you got a little stressed. It's fun.
It's fun
to get high. I get it.
I love it.
Yeah. I love, hey, Andy, I love pleasure. Mm-hmm. I love pleasure, and I you know, spend a lot of my time seeking appropriate, pleasant experiences. I'm an adrenaline junkie. I surf. Well, I ride motorcycles.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. What do you? So
I love off road, like out in the desert, fun.
Off road.
Yeah, I destroyed my leg 2 years ago on my dirt bike.
Where?
I had to have 5 ligaments replaced. Ew. So we all love pleasure. We all
here
love it.
Here it goes. Listen up, folks. Maybe we'll learn something.
Okay. Let's hear what Willie has to say.
Oh, well, this is page 33. One of my favorite Cherokee stories speaks as well to us today as it did hundreds of years ago. Sitting with his grandson, a grandfather explained.
I love this teaching.
Yeah, I've never heard it.
I love this teaching, and this is a common teaching.
Okay. Sitting with his grandson, a grandfather explained that one of the wolves was evil and was driven by anger, envy, regret, ego, and the worship of war. The other wolf was good and was driven by love, hope, compassion, and the promise of peace. Thinking about the wolves already growing within him, both of them were growing within him, the boy asked, "Grandfather, which wolf wins?" And the old man replied, "The one you feed." Oh my God. I never heard that one, Dad.
It's amazing. And it's so much.
It makes me cry.
Yeah, but it's so much our conversation.
It is.
It's so much about you wanting to understand your mind.
But he just said it doesn't even really matter.
He did not. He said,
"That's you, what I get."
He said,
my takeaway.
We all have both in us. Whether you call it good and evil, whether you call it ignorant and wisdom, we all have all of it in us. And these two wolves, these two aspects of the human heart, the human mind, it depends on what we're feeding.
Everyone you feed.
Yeah. Am I feeding wisdom? Am I feeding kindness? Am I feeding generosity? Or am I feeding self-centered?
That is your book.
It is.
It really is. 100%. That's exactly your message to people. To me, that's what I got out of it.
I love that you randomly shared that.
That was weird. And that was accidental. Yeah. I picked 33 because
it's
of Jesus.
Beautiful.
I think he died when he might have been 32. I don't know.
It's such a beautiful and you know
the
this.
The
one you feed.
And I was like, where is this going? This is gonna be stupid. That's brilliant, dude.
I mean, it's neuroscience.
You're right.
It really is neuroscience. And I know you had a neuroscience guy on the show before.
There's neuropathways, and
there's the neuropathways of greed, hatred, and delusion, and there's the neuropathways of love, kindness, and forgiveness.
And you can change them.
Which pathways are we feeding?
Yeah. And I don't know if this is coming from the thing I was listening with you talking. I listen to a lot of things. I'm trying to help myself. I really am. But there was something somebody was saying in the last 24 hours where you just have to change your thoughts. Was that you?
Maybe, you know, and I'm a little bit more realistic about, like, you can't, we started here earlier, you can't control your mind.
You can't.
But you can change how you relate to your mind.
Let me ask something. Here's a hardcore one. Do you, I'm laughing because it's a real serious question. You better answer it honestly. You don't have to. You can be a big fat liar. I love making kid laugh. But seriously, do you think you're ever going to drink again, ever? Hang on. In your whole, cause remember, you're only 50, dude. So you might live to be 100. In your next 50 motherfucking years, do you think you're ever going, and I said relax and think about it and answer honestly, do you think you're ever going to drink again?
I don't think so. And I can answer it quickly and honestly based on my experience and my intention. Now, here's the thing, Andy.
Uh-huh.
And this is really radical, maybe. I'm an addict and I'm a recovering addict and I take refuge in recovery and I meditate and my whole life is about recovery. But I'd like to think that I like being awake so much. I like reality so much. And the skills that meditation has given me and how my relationship to my mind has changed, I like it all so much. I appreciate it so deeply that even if I could, even if somebody came in and said, hey, you could drink in moderation now. You won't shoot dope. You won't smoke crack. You'll just have some drinks here and there. I would still say, no, thank you. I want to be in reality. I want to be sober. I want to be awake.
With that in mind, why did you stop? What was the one that, you know how they'd say in AA?
The bottom?
The bottom, but there's a word where they're like, the moment of...
The pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization.
So I thought you didn't go to AA.
Well, I didn't say that. The moment of clarity.
Yes, that.
Moment of clarity.
Yes, that.
Moment of clarity.
Yes, now he got it.
1988.
Go ahead.
I wake up.
Here she goes, padded
cell.
Oh, God.
After a suicide attempt in juvenile hall. It was simple for me, this clarity, this... For the first time in my life, I realized there's no one else to blame. But before that, I blamed everyone else.
Yep.
And, you know, the girlfriend, the boyfriend, the parents, the police,
wait,
the whatever.
You had boyfriends?
No, but I was, being inclusive. Oh.
No, yes. You're flirting with me. I love it. You're so, flirting with your first time.
But are you finally. Following? Are you
yes,
following me?
I am.
That shift for me was, if I got myself into this situation, maybe I can get myself out.
Only you can. Yeah.
But before that, I felt like I was a victim. It was everyone else's fault.
Mm-hmm. What snapped you out of it?
I think it was just, there was that bottom, for lack of a better word, that shift, that here I am 17 years old, strung out, locked up. I look like I might be locked up for a long time. I just felt like such a failure at life.
And you were really in your mind trying very hard to find someone to blame, and you couldn't.
I was so fucking desperate that I started meditating. And I'll tell you the truth, I was more ashamed of becoming a meditator than I was of being a violent felon. Violent felon in my worldview was cool. I was a tough guy. And now I'm this like peace-loving worm.
Hippie ass. Meditator.
It was the worst for my self-image. My
With
ego
incense.
Fully rejected it. But it worked. But I got some relief. And I sat in that cell. And for the first time in my life, I realized I don't have to obey my mind.
How long were you in that cell?
About 3 months and then into a group home.
God. Oh, Christ almighty.
Till I turned 18.
You've been through the ringer.
But that mindfulness, that simple, and I know you've done this before, and maybe we could even do it now, that simple technique of—
Don't put me to sleep. I'll fall asleep and they won't be able to wake me up till tomorrow.
Okay, well, talk about it. That simple technique of redirecting our attention from our thinking mind, the cracked mind and the crazy wolves coming into the body, feeling the breath. Arising and passing, mindfulness of the breath, learning to ignore the mind, break the addiction to the mind.
I'm pausing you.
Yes, Jim.
Because that is another thing that where I really like clicked with you. You talked about that on your thing that I listened to on the way over. Because I would ask my dad, what are you doing in there like twice a day for half an hour?
Yep.
Meditating.
Well,
what's that?
Yeah.
And I'm 15. And then he's like, if you want to, I'll show you how to do it. He said, just sit on your bed, but sit back, but sit up, and then just notice your breath. Notice it come in, notice it go out. And I'm like, yeah, he's like, no, just that. Just keep, and you're going to go to other thoughts.
Of course.
But then...
Come back.
That's what... You said the exact same thing my dad told me when I was 15, and I did it, dude.
Yeah.
And it worked.
And you can still do it. Every time your mind starts obsessing about
my boyfriend,
the relationship,
my boyfriend,
drinking, using, money, status, court dates, whatever your mind is thinking about.
Can I take money instead? Now tell me something.
Come back to the breath.
All right, I'm not meditating right now.
Back to the breath.
See?
You know, oh, that feels good.
He's hypnotizing me.
What did you learn about your mind today?
You said you can help me, and I know you can. The sad part is, you're right. I don't know if I want it. What if I don't want it? Then what? What if I don't want it?
Then you keep getting what you've been getting.
Okay.
Right? That's my father was a junkie before he wrote the books with Ram Dass, and he was strung out on heroin in Mexico, and he has these stories about how I was shooting dope and I was carrying a gun, and he's like, but I was also interested in awakening, and I had this other part of me that like had read the poetry and read the Buddha stuff. He's like, and I just wanted to know God more than I wanted to stay high. He said, so I kicked dope and I shit my pants. and I stopped doing heroin and I got, you know, and I started meditating. You know, and as I've told you, like, he didn't get sober. He kept smoking weed and the psychedelics and all of that stuff. But he stopped using that, you know, heroin. And he got very serious about his meditation practice and helped so many people because he wanted something else more. And that's the answer for all of us, not just you, for everyone about everything. In order to make a big change...
I'm not looking for an answer. Don't put me in the category.
You have to want something else more, or we just keep doing what we're doing and we keep getting the results we're getting.
Honestly, I'm jealous of you and impressed by you, and I love you, and you... I love you. I hope we're friends now. And you've helped me. Yes.
I've really enjoyed this. I know we got to wrap it up. I've enjoyed it. I like you.
I like you
and
too.
And I also believe that you can do whatever you want. Total free will.
Thank you.
You have total free will to do whatever you want.
I already know.
And here's what I want to say, Andy. It has been a pleasure to meet you. And I also saw how deeply some of the topic resonated. You know, where like the emotional response that you had, the attunement that you had to some of this stuff about suffering, the causes of suffering. And it's so palpable that you would like to end the suffering and change your relationship to your mind. And all I want to say is that if a dirty, junky, punk rock kid like me can do it, anybody can fucking do it. And so, you know, if you decide you want to, I'm happy to help support you in doing that. We'll go to some meetings.
You know, fuck. You don't go to meetings.
I do. I still do.
And now the question. What's next for Noah Levine?
I appreciate the question. I feel pretty good and confident about the path that my life has been on, which is teaching meditation. I have a meditation center here in Venice called Against the Stream, Refuge Recovery. So I feel pretty good about what I've been doing. You know, I'm working on a new book. There's a new movie. My PR person is probably, I'm supposed to be mentioning all of this stuff. There's a new documentary about me called Dharma Rebel Noah Levine, about how I created Refuge Recovery and Against the Stream and my own recovery. I've been, you know this, like, what do we learn? We learn, how do we use our suffering to help others? How do you know what this conversation is?
Let him go. So this is, do it. Let him,
you know, you asked. You asked.
Pontificate on his soapbox.
Yeah, well, you asked what's next. And so I think just more, you know, my hope is that I'm just able to continue to use my life in a way that benefits other people. That's my hope.
You are a Dharma punk. You really are.
So, Andy, if you really want to continue any kind of dialogue with me, I'm totally open to it. And we don't have to do it on the podcast. And, you know, we can always have a conversation. And we can totally never go to any meetings together. Let me leave you with a disturbing image.
Okay? Ooh.
And it was connected to the two wolves that we were talking about earlier. I heard this, and also I think that it's a Native American thing. And it says that, and just feel this for a minute, it says that all of your ancestors on your mother's side and on your father's side, all in the afterlife, They're all there and they've all got your back and they're all saying, we hope that Andy is able to break this cycle of dysfunction in our family in a way that we weren't able to do it. And that they, all of your ancestors have your back and are hoping that you'll be the one to do the work that they failed to do.
Okay, I'm going to stop you.
I told you it was a disturbing image.
I'm fine with it. But they didn't do any work, okay? Yeah. I was, you know why I like that? I gravitate to wolves because I was raised by wolves.
Exactly.
And
that's why it's a connected image.
Yeah, but no. But what you said, no. Nobody taught me anything. And nobody taught me anything. And I raised myself. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going a little nuts.
That's all right. I loved being here. This was great. Thank you, Brandy. Thank you, Andy. Thanks, guys, for having me over.
Thank you, Noah. You're great.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Inside the mind of Andy Dick, so many ways to turn. So take your pick. Inside the mind of Andy Dick.
If you are in the United States or Canada and struggling with anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts, or a crisis of any kind, please text HOME to 741-741, and a crisis counselor will respond to you right away, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Text HOME to 741-741. And to find more resources and support for addiction, visit addictedpodcast.com/resources or read the show notes of this episode. Please know you are not alone and recovery is possible. It's never too late. Reach out and get help now.